T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, welcome. We're going to hook back up with attorney Corey Hogan in just a couple of seconds here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Pasquale, are we going to be joined again by Mr. Hogan from Hogan Willig? Let me just separate my headphones. All righty then. Someday Corey is going to trust me enough with his cell phone number. So that would be a mistake. So anyway, I could get it for my daughter, but that would just be so wrong. But I'll do it anyway. Facebook, sometimes I put these ridiculous questions on Facebook just to see what the response is. And I posted a question yesterday, and we're going to talk more about food today. I'm sorry, but we are. And the question I posed on Facebook, do clams have feelings? Do clams have feelings? And I will tell you, there are two origins, or maybe more, but two major origins of that question. Number one, there was a... my cell phone's vibrating. Let me, wait, okay. What do you have? When something's vibrating and you can't find it, what do you call that? You call it, it's time to see the obstetrician, right? No, what you do, I got to look at my cell phone because I don't know who this is trying to get in touch with me and whether it's relevant to, okay. No, it was a friend of mine. Hello, Peter. Hope you're enjoying the program. So anyway, I put the question about clams up on Facebook because many years ago, I'm going to be very honest with you guys. My memory of the last, 7 years or so is not real good. I have some real gaps because of, you know what? No, not drugs, because of what happened with my heart. Things, obviously, if things are closing up on you, you're not getting the full flow of blood to the brain now, are you? So, anyway... I have, it's just this one little area. It's bizarre. But anyway, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that, but I guess I really don't hide it from anybody, so y'all might as well know. But I remember some shows from, 40 years ago vividly, and I had this guy on who was a bona fide UB left-wing dude, and I think we did a show on vegetarianism. And at one point, he said words to the effect of, hey, I don't lay awake at night wondering, do clams have feelings? And for some reason, that line has been in the back of my mind ever since then. Now, the other night, Monday night at Tino's, that's what we call one of our places we hang out, your humble boy here in the circle, Bill Mason, local drummer with every band, who would like to play at Sorrentino's and who should be asked to play at Sorrentino's. Bill Mason was talking, he's Sicilian, and he was talking about clams. I'm sorry, he was talking about eating snails. And I won't eat a snail. And I really won't eat a snail now because he was talking with great glee and gusto about flipping the snails that were trying to escape the water back into the boiling cauldron. And it seems sadistic to me that he would take such relish in that. So anyway, that's why I put the question up, do clams have feelings? And it's really, the response is, you guys, A, are funny, B, you're hilarious, and two of you are disturbed, and one of you needs to adjust your time machine. It is not 1977. Look at the post and see what I wrote. Okay, right now, We talked, and you heard it on the 3 o'clock news, about the lawsuit, the latest lawsuit being filed by Hogan Willie to get these two Lancaster kids back into school without the necessity of wearing masks. Corey, just one follow-up question on that, and it is this. Because the school year is already approaching an end, I mean, these kids are, you know, starting to dash to the finish line, or roll to the finish line, as I did. Is this going to be resolved before it's too late?
Well, it's a good question, Tom. Two quick points, just to make it clear. Our clients asked their pediatricians for a letter, a medical exemption. They said to them, we don't write letters for this because we would be asked by a lot of parents for all different kinds of reasons to write such a letter, and we're not going to get involved in it. So, and I can see where physicians feel like, how then do we draw a line between asthma and anxiety or whatever else it might be? They drew the line and said, we're not going to do it at all.
And there's also, Corey, forgive the interruption, but people don't understand in a lot of cases that you are licensed by the state of New York to practice law. Doctors are licensed as well by the State Division of Professional Licensing Services, which I believe is a branch of the Department of Education. So are some of these doctors a little leery of writing a medical exemption for somebody, fearing that the state might take a closer look at their licensure?
Well, we know the Department of Health and the SLA are certainly taking a closer look at restaurants when they were putting up a little bit of a fight about allowing people to come in and have a meal. So I don't blame physicians. It's sad that it's gotten to that point.
Wow. Very, very interesting. So, yeah, I think that was pretty clear in the first hour. The parents tried to get the medical exemption. The pediatrician would not do it for the reasons you have outlined. But it as part of this lawsuit, I mean, you would be able to get expert witnesses, correct?
Yeah, we certainly have. We've talked to a number of physicians. And the bigger mask action that we'll be bringing, we will be hopefully getting somewhere between 5 and 15 experts and taking a look at the studies that have been conducted worldwide with respect to the effectiveness of the mask. And also the downside. The people don't look at the downside. They look at, okay, my gosh, a certain number of people have gotten sick or died or been hospitalized. They don't look at the millions of kids that are being damaged here emotionally, and as well as there's been deaths, suicides, and things of that nature, and it's because it's hidden. And it's these young kids, are 0 or 2-year-olds to let's say 21 or whatever it's going to be, that are paying the price. All of us other people, we're not doing well, but we're skating a lot easier than these kids and these poor kids. And it's also the kids that are really more from a poverty perspective, where they're not getting the same kind of education that a couple of bright kids who have nice new computers and have tutors and parents that can afford it. So when you talk about the state being concerned about people, well, they're really beating up the people that don't have the same means. They're proportionally getting hurt a lot worse. Everybody's getting hurt. No matter how wealthy you are, you're still dealing with the same kind of issues. But if you have less resources, you are really getting hurt. You're talking about meals. You're talking about emotional guidance they get from the school. That stuff all came to an end, and it's been done for a year and a half.
Well, every government has its priorities, and when I consider some of the state spending on various electronics for certain individuals, I do shake my head when other people don't have what they need. Now, one of the things that I'm getting slammed in email, I mean, not insulted in email, it comes with the territory, but people are saying, Tom, what are you hearing about New York State making vaccination mandatory for kindergarten through 12th grade beginning in the fall because I will not give my child this vaccination? Corey, do you have any inside knowledge on A, whether the state is going to do that, B, whether the state can do that?
Well, two different questions, and you've said them very, very well and succinctly. There's no question that the public health law requires that shots for diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, measles, a few of the, maybe there's like close to 6 of them, that before you can attend school, you need to be vaccinated for those particular diseases. that's something that was passed by the legislature years ago, and it's been added to or not, I think it's been subtracted from. They, at this point, they have not thrown in COVID-19 because it hasn't gotten the appropriate U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval other than on an emergency use basis. There has been bills passed. There was a bill attempted to get passed early on that said once it does get it, then the vaccine will be mandated. But that bill didn't go anywhere. There's certainly a number of bills that are being talked about where the vaccination will be required for kids going to school, ranging all the way from kindergarten all the way up to college. Now, whether that can be enforced, well, it's going to start out being enforced, and judges have to say, well, we have to assume that the state had a rational basis to do it. Therefore, the burden is going to be upon whoever wants to challenge it. And then you're dealing with the basic balancing test of, you know, what is the public good that the state is trying to accomplish? And what they're requiring here is that the least restrictive means of getting it done. So then the issue is, you know, does the vaccination for COVID-19, is it so important and significant in terms of preventing whatever the state's trying to prevent, whether it's some people with the 60% of the young kids are asymptomatic, 50 to 60% of young kids are asymptomatic, but that's going to be the issue. Is it that serious that you can actually require that these kids get vaccinated? What's the downside to the vaccination in terms of, you know, there are concerns by a lot of people as to whether they want to get vaccinated or not. And it's kind of drawing a division in our society, which is kind of also sad to witness. And the federal registry that's out there where people can self-report, I think it's not that easily available any longer, but I think the number was over 4,000 people claiming that they had died as a result of the vaccination. But then they'll compare it to the number of benefits, and that's what it'll all come down to. Is it that serious? Can they then require it? Because there is no overall law in this country or in this state that basically said that you have a right, every citizen has to be vaccinated with respect to these particular diseases. They say if you want to travel, perhaps, if you want to go to school, perhaps, they may say now if you want to go to a football game, perhaps, but that's the way it's been enforced in the past. But going way back to the beginning, that People versus Jacobson case, I think 1907 or whatever it was, a Supreme Court case, where in Massachusetts, they did require a smallpox vaccination of its citizens subject to a fine, and in those days it was $5. In that case, the Supreme Court said that they could find an understanding why, with the police power and the concern of the state, that they could mandate it. And that was the Supreme Court's decision, you know, over 100 years ago with respect to smallpox. And that's the one that people talk about when they talk about, can this be mandated? Mm-hmm. That was over 100 years ago, and smallpox is different than COVID-19.
Well, it most certainly is, and I know that you've got your own expert witnesses. I know that WNYStudentsFirst.org, they have expert witnesses on masks and the virulence of COVID, and there is another organization to which I would point you. We've had its executive director, Dr. Jane Orient, on the show, and it is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And quite frankly, that has become my go-to source for real COVID information because, Corey, you know, if I had you on and I asked you six questions and you got them all wrong, I would start to question your credibility as an attorney. And I question the CDC's credibility as a public health source because they have been wrong so many times. I no longer can trust them as an authoritative source. So I've turned to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. They make the most sense of anybody.
I've written it down, and I agree with you. And the problem with the CDC, like you're suggesting, is it's become politicized. As part of our case with the students and the teachers, before they put out the Department of Health, the CDC, before they put out their recommendations on that, they went to the teachers' union and asked them for their input with respect to their suggestions in terms of schools being opened and in-person instruction, which was kind of unfortunate that they did that kind of thing, because they lose their credibility, as you're suggesting. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you can only get so many things wrong before reasonable people say, you know what, I can't trust you anymore. You're no longer somebody who's credible. Corey Hogan, is there anything that I did not specifically ask you regarding the vaccination issue that may be coming down the pike, as far as it may be being mandatory, or the Lancaster situation, a specific point of information that I failed to specifically ask you?
No, I think that there's certainly going to be issues revolving around the vaccinations. That's not going to go away. And the reason for the mask type of action is that, as we mentioned before, it's not just this, the next 20 days of school or whatever it is. It's going to be summer school, and it's going to be next fall. That's what the parents are concerned about, is that if we don't get it under control now, with all these rates plummeting, where the transmission rate is almost into the lowest level it can be at, if they're still requiring masks now, what will they ever go away? And don't they understand what they're doing to our kids? And that's why these parents are just livid. I mean, you said it before, Tom. When a parent is dealing with his child or her child's health, there's nothing more precious. Parents will give up their lives for their kids, and they're going to fight, and they're not going to let their kids get damaged without putting up a good fight and without risking everything. There's too much at stake.
Corey, I just need you to do one thing at the conclusion of this interview, and that is, if you could just kindly tell my daughter that if she ever needs a kidney, there is a 5% chance I'd give her mine.
5%, huh? I think
5%.
I think 100%.
All right. Corey, I'm glad and grateful for your time. Oh, and what is the phone number at Hogan Willig?
Sure, Tom. If people have issues that they want to call, it's 716-636-7600.
636-7600. Corey, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Corey Hogan with Hogan Willig. And yes, full disclosure, my daughter is an attorney there, but there's nothing going on that, I ain't getting no secret check or anything like that. Although my daughter does have a Lamborghini suddenly. I'm trying to figure that whole thing out. She doesn't have a Lamborghini. All right, it is 3:26 at News Radio. If she ever bought a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, I would disown her. There's one luxury car, and that's Porsche. Thank you. Oh, you want Pasquale's a Ferrari guy. I saw fire in his. What are you, Pasquale? If any car in the world, what would you get?
I'm not a car guy, but I drive a Chevy Colorado if anybody's looking for me.
But, okay, a Chevy Colorado. I like those. But I like the Silverado because I like the Sam Elliott voiceovers. Silverado. I think it was Sam Elliott who did those. Great voice. Good-looking guy. Great voice. But, I think Rolls-Royces are super cool and very fuel-efficient. Bentleys. Saw a Bentley the other day. Lamborghinis, I never got. Ferraris, I never got. And why I got rid of my 911... because it was just sitting in my driveway and doing nothing. But I wish I had that car now, because you can't buy one. Damn, stupid. All right, I made money on it. The only car I've ever made money on. All right, it is 3:27 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, but if you're thinking that I'm all snobby, I'm not. I'm really not. There's just some things in life that I really like. And just keep something in mind. The other car that I really wish I had back, just to show you I'm not really a snob, is my 1975 olive green from my grandfather Chevy Nova four-door. So I would rather have that car back than my Porsche 911 back, okay? So, I'm not even lying. That's really, ask anybody who knows me, they'll tell you. All right, it is 28 minutes after 3. I have no idea what we have coming up, but it better be good. Oh, I see what you did there, Pasquale. I see. I'd know those chords anywhere. All right. Welcome. It is, it's like a B minor, an A, and a D. It's very difficult. Anyway, it's 3:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Bowerly. Of course, every time I go up on stage, I always have to ask Valentino, yep, Mark, what were they again? Oh, yeah, okay, got it. Hi. Then he said, what else do you want to play? And it's always like, Mark, I've been practicing ELO and Pink Floyd. I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm not going to launch into a telephone line right now. I think it would be highly inappropriate for me to commandeer the show. It would be fun, though, just to see Mark's reaction. I'm just saying. All right. Mark Valentino, by the way, is the lead singer of a very famous local group called Hit and Run. He's also with Mr. Jukebox, and everybody in the band is a friend, and pretty much everybody in local music is a friend in some way, shape, or form. It's a very, very small community. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the program with Corey Hogan and Maria, the mom from Lancaster, about whom we told you on Monday. A couple of kids got sick while at school. And seriously, as parents, I don't know if my daughter's listening, honey. You know what? If you ever needed a kidney, I'd put a little thought to it. You know, I'm not gonna lie. So, your daddy loves you, but put a little thought into it. I'm thinking maybe 30 seconds, and then I just say, no, I don't think so. She's laughing. See, my entire family shares my sick sense of humor, so. I don't want all the hate mail. Can't believe you'd say that about your own child. Yeah, and say that and far worse. Anyway, never said I was normal, but I do have a good time in life. Anyway, how are you? Good to have you with us. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the talk we had about the lawsuit against the Lancaster schools. And allow me to just say how absolutely absurd it is. You people in Lancaster, can I just make a recommendation? Look, Lancaster is a big town. I know that because I have to drive diagonally through your town to get to my buddy's house a lot. And it's a big place. But if you're a parent in Lancaster, can you guys get on the phone and call your school and say, do you guys possess an iota of common sense? Because what bothers me the most about this entire story with Maria is that grown-ups witnessed children, Maria's children, in states of genuine mental distress and physical difficulty in breathing air. They saw it with their own eyes, and according to Maria, they were insistent that these kids who already could not breathe, who are known to be asthmatics, the daughter carries around an emergency inhaler and is free to use it as she needs it, probably something like a Proventil or albuterol, something like that. I think it is outrageous that you have people who work in your schools in Lancaster who tell a student who is struggling to breathe, for whom you eventually will have to call 911 to put on a mask. There isn't a damned reason for it that makes a bit of effing sense under the sun. First of all, if you're a grown-up and working in a school and you are not vaccinated, tough beans. I almost slipped up. Too bad. You've had your choice. You made your choice. This is the life that we've chosen. You chose the life, okay? Now, deal with the consequences. You didn't want to get vaccinated. That's on you. You know what? A lot of places are hiring now. So if you're a grown-up working in a school district, especially Lancaster, and you chose not to get vaccinated, I'm supposed to be on your side when a student is struggling to take in the very elixir of life known as oxygen, and you tell that kid to put a mask on when the kid is already going through pulmonary distress? You know, I know that you have to have a master's degree to teach, but at some point when earning your master's degree, did they ever instruct you the thesis of getting your head out of your ass? Because that's what you sound like. If you're one of these teachers in Lancaster and you told students who couldn't breathe to put a mask on as they walked for medical aid, quite frankly, you know, I know some guys who would like me to call them to talk to you, okay? We all have friends. And I think it's disgusting. So if you're a parent in Lancaster, I would definitely start asking questions of your school board, like, oh, I don't know. I think the first one would be what the actual, you know the word. That would be my first question. And I don't know how many of you as parents, and look, I've tried to do this show before, and it crashed into a wall and went nowhere, but I'm willing to try it again, because apparently I'm a masochist without any sense whatsoever. Well, you've known that for many years. We're on the same page. But if you're a parent, is this acceptable to you? Is it acceptable that a grown-up, and I'm sorry, aren't teachers required to take first aid courses? It seems to me, I mean, even if they're not, common freaking sense would tell me, okay, with no medical doctor after my name, no RN after my name, not even a CNA after my name, all right? If I saw a kid clearly having issues breathing, and especially if I knew them to be asthmatic, what kind of a moron would I be to say, you know, you need your mask on? Really? Because allow me to retort. The New York State Department of Health, June 7, 2021, Exhibit A in the Hogan lawsuit. Students who are unable to medically tolerate a mask, including students where such mask would impair their physical health or mental health, are not subject to the required use of a mask. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and we established this with Corey Hogan, you do not have to provide proof. Your own affirmation as a parent that your child has a medical condition should be sufficient to prevent the school authorities from mandating the use of a mask. Because there is, as I read it, and as the lawyer told us, you heard it live right here, the state is not saying person claiming to have medical issues must furnish medical proof. No, no, no. They're not saying that. It is basically you're on the honor system. So there are a couple of issues here. But the biggest one for me is, how in the hell can you have a master's degree and tell a kid who can't breathe going through the halls to get medical assistance to put on a mask when they're going to get medical assistance because they can't breathe? And I will tell you something. I've got like cold weather asthma. It's not like a big deal. Doesn't really define my life. But there's one time where I couldn't breathe in my life. And I mentioned this earlier. I was exposed to chemical agents and we had to go in a concrete bunker. OMG. I don't think I've run so fast in my life. Look, chemicals affect different people in different ways. And I am extremely sensitive to certain gases. And I literally could not breathe for a half hour. I stood hunched over and coughing. Every breath I took, I thought was going to be my last. I thought I was going to pass out. There was me and there was this one other guy, and we were both like, we were both like just addled. Addled? Yeah. We were addled and hobbled by the chemical agent. And I tell you, for a kid to go through that, I mean, I was in my 20s at the time, but for a small child, a seventh grader, to not be able to breathe, of course they're going to have a panic attack. Hell, I almost had a panic attack. And I'm not prone to panic attacks. But when you can't breathe, you know, kind of does something to you. If you'd like a vivid depiction of that, I suggest you watch Free State of Jones, a certain scene in a church. Let's go to Tony on WBEN. Tony and Amherst, speak to me. Tony, I need you to put your radio off. Pasquale, you got to tell people to turn their radio down if you're not doing that.
Got it.
All right. Tony, hello. You are on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's amazing to me that with all the publicity now with Fauci and the backpedaling and that the masks were not necessary from the beginning and even the lockdowns are not necessary at this point now in retrospect, why they're still enforcing it and why the schools are still enforcing it and why the parents are allowing a child, which I'm sure you've heard me say on the air, get the mask off the child. That was 4 months ago.
I concur 100%, sir.
You know, and that personality of the people, like the teacher that kept the mask on that kid when he was suffering, you know, it's going to get worse. You're going to see where we're going to have to wait till there's a tragedy, I'm sure, because nothing's going to change probably, and it's so sad that it's going to be that way.
Well, look, we've already got videos. Dr. Jane Orion, Executive Director, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, talked about the case. I think we might have talked about it with you, where the track athlete out west collapsed at the finish line because of oxygen deprivation.
Absolutely. You know, there is a persona with, even in the gym now, do you know that there's still 30% still wearing it? Maybe almost to the 40s. There's a persona about the people that want to keep the mask on, and it's incredible. I went to a popular hair place the other day, or before the mask mandate was sort of semi-dropped now, and she didn't like my mask. She almost fainted. She was so upset because you could see a little bit of my mouth. And while she was doing this, she was continuing. The persona of that person is the same type of the people that are just mask obsessed now. It's crazy. It's like their security. I was just talking about it this morning. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Dude.
On this mask, it's incredible.
You, my friend, are doing something called preaching to the choir, and I would like you to preach on, if you would like. I've got to take a break. All right, guys, you heard from Maria in Lancaster. We're hearing from Tony. We've heard from Corey Hogan, the attorney. And your kids and these mask mandates. And again, ladies and gentlemen, in what world does a grown-up, presumably with a master's degree, see a child with breathing distress and say, put the mask on? I mean, you know, if you're that paranoid about COVID, get a different line of work. Seriously, clean sewers or something. You know, become a doctor, do something, but you don't belong in a school, because if that is common sense, well, it isn't common sense. You know, look, in a reasonable world, ladies and gentlemen, a grown-up who told a kid in the throes of an allergy attack to put a mask on would be arrested. That's what ought to be happening here. Get some people arrested. Kind of feels like a Tom Bender at the Dome night for me. Parking's been a pain, but whatever. Good to see people outside. Our last dude hung up. Let's go to Beth in West Seneca. Beth, you be on WBEN. Hello.
Hi. My son goes to West Seneca, and I can't say which school, and they, more than half the schools don't have air conditioning, including his school. It's 100 and something degrees in there. They have to wear masks in the school. They've been told that when they're outside, they can put it below their chin, like for recess and lunch. And I've had numerous parents contact me, because I am a teacher also in a different district, asking me like what they should do. Their kids are coming home with, their eyes are bloodshot. They're in tears, saying they couldn't breathe all day. There's a rally actually today. Well, hopefully it's a good turnout in front of the West Seneca Town Hall because of this.
West Seneca Town Hall on Union Road.
Yep.
What time is the rally?
4 to 6.
And all right. Well, so are you calling from the rally?
I'm on my way there now. I'm hoping people turn out, because I just heard about this on Facebook last night. And then when I went to go look to post it on my Facebook today, I couldn't find it. So I don't know if it got taken down or what.
All right. Well, okay. So there may be a rally in front of West Seneca Town Hall at 4 o'clock. You guys will have to call me and let me know, because I can't be in two places at once.
Yeah, I'm hoping. And the other thing I wanted to add real quickly, if you don't mind, is parents have got to do something, because I can't say what district I teach in, and but my district is considering having the masks for next year.
Oh, my God.
And there are two other districts that my very close friends work for, and it's the same. They're going to go along the lines that they've seen the flu counts go down and stomach flu counts go down, and they think it's because of the masks, and they think it's a good idea to keep them, and I think it's horrific. I'm disgusted.
You know, I've said this a million times. If a neighbor did this to a puppy, we'd be calling the SPCA and they'd be charged under agriculture and markets law. Actually, penal law. But I am grateful that you called. I've got a note here, email, Unmask Our Children Freedom Rally, Monday, June 14th. 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Niagara Falls Boulevard and Military in Niagara Falls.
Yes, and the Unmask Our Children are the ones that are supposed to be hosting it today in front of the West Seneca.
Okay.
Town Hall.
You know, Beth, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to invite everybody in the Unmask Our Children crowd. Why don't you call in and tell us what y'all are doing? Because you're going to have a lot of support on this show. And I'm grateful, Beth, for your call, and thank you for being a teacher with common sense. My long-term lady, Mrs. Nerd, she may be a blue-collar factory runner in her life, but she actually has a master's in elementary education, and she got out of it because she couldn't stand all the libs in education.
I have to say, real quick, and I'm done, because I know that your lady friend is SPCA, a foster parent for cats. So I think I've met her a few times, but so that was just my...
Different one. Different one. But no, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. But no, I mean, Gina Latuca and I are friends. Her husband and I are friends. It's all cool. It's all, you know, cool in the gang. Unmask Our Children Freedom Rally. I want to hear from you guys. Unmask Our Children Freedom Rally. You guys putting these rallies together, you're not going to find a better place to get out your message, nor will you find a more accommodating and delightful host with whom to speak.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.